Okay, Heshi.
Yes.
We have connected. Fantastic. It's great to connect with you, and appreciate the phone call. Welcome to Discussions of Truth. I am Ian Hamilton Trottier. Heshi, take a moment, if you will, for listeners to introduce yourself and let listeners know exactly who you are and what you're doing.
Well, Ian, thank you for inviting me to your show. My name is Heshi Tishla. As you know, I'm a candidate for the city council seat of District 48, which is one of 51 members of the city council. I am a community activist for over 35 years. A lot of people in my community call me Uncle Heshi, of the many different kids that we've taken in, the foster kids of the 21 of them, different programs that I've run over the years, taking people out of jail, feeding people programs. Basically, I'm somebody that has worked for the community, not only for the Jewish community, but for all different communities in New York City, the five boroughs, as well as I fight for my city, I fight for my neighbors, and I fight for my country, and I will never allow my fellow neighbors to be bullied around. Basically, I'm a bully fighter. That's what you want to know, you know, just love trying it. To help other people.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. That's what America needs right now, is a bully fighter to take down these tyrants, because our government's becoming so tyrannical and having their way with us. And thank goodness there's people like you that stand up and fight for these rights. Heshi, I like your accent. Are you in New York City? You're running for city council in New York City. Does that encompass all five boroughs, or is there a particular borough?
First of all, I'm a Brooklyn boy, born and bred, so that accent you hear is a Brooklyn accent. I've been trying to be more aristocratic since I'm running for city council, but it's not working, my son. I'm a Brooklyn boy from the street, so get it through everybody's head. And I want you to know, very important, I will be representing my city. I will be representing all five boroughs. And, you know, when I started my movement last year in June, cutting the locks and fighting the mayor, even though they threatened to arrest me, and he did arrest me, by the way, Ian, I wasn't scared, you know, so I am here. I've always defended my people, my neighbors, my town, my community. You know, I even go to jail every 2 weeks because we have people that have issues, their young children. I volunteer in the hospital for 35 years to brag. But I'm here for my people, just same way they're here for me. And when I started this, I see so many others that came to join me. And that's why we were able to beat the mayor. That's why we were able to open this great city. I'm opening to push hate with his poisonous mouth and to make people hate one another. But I am here to help my people, to help our city. You know, in my house, I took in a Muslim girl, a black kid, a Spanish kid. It doesn't make a difference who you are. My job is to help other people so you can help me. And I'm going to tell you why. My father was a Holocaust survivor, and he told me, when he came to this country, we had enough hate. You will fight. And my father passed away a month after my bar mitzvah when I was 13. And since then, I've been taking care of my family, special needs kids. I know what it is to love somebody else because I get loved. You know, lately, since I'm running for politics, Ian, a lot of people don't love me. I'm not happy about that.
Heshi, this is a strong statement that you made. It reflects a experience of yours, unfortunately, and it seems like you're talking about de Blasio, and I don't think that's even his real name. And for listeners to understand, de Blasio, from my understanding, Heshi, even honeymooned in Cuba. So the man seems to have interest in socialism, or at least in a country that has adopted a socialist governance. Maybe he was just in Varadero and wanted to go to the beach. I don't know. But he arrested you? Under what grounds were you arrested, Heshi?
So, well, Ian, a lot of you guys are coming up with excuses why he's so vicious and mean. I have a plain, simple answer to that. The man is an idiot. The man really is a moron. His old name was William Wilhelm. He's really a bad man who doesn't know what is. He never ran a business. He has 337,000 government employees. He's never ran a business. He shut all of the city down, all the jobs down. He let them continue working. The man is no good, plain and simple, and there's nothing more. The reason why he arrested me was I work with the police. You know, sometimes a young boy is arrested. People come home from jail. They need a place to stay. I work with the police officers. Sometimes they get in trouble. They call me. She come down here, you know, a couple of months ago, there was a lady whose husband was dying. They arrested her because she wouldn't leave the hospital. And again, I went there and I threatened them. I didn't threaten them, but I know how to talk to the police. And I work with them on many different issues. And they released her to us. And her husband passed away that night. So I don't like when people are mistreated. And that's what I do from 4:30 in the morning when I get up till midnight at night. My phone is working. What happened was is, on October the 6th or 7th, during the Sukkot holiday, they came into our town after I opened up 19 parks and embarrassed our community. And then the kids just started standing behind me. People were protesting with me. We were fighting back. My movement started to grow. And then the boys got one night during the Jewish holiday, some guy made a protest. And I didn't go. I went for a few minutes. I passed by and I left. I had to go to another event and I went home to bed because I get up 4:30 in the morning to go to the hospital at 6. That is my day. I love going there. That is my 3 hours a day of enjoyment, of helping, of doing some good. Not much. You know, I only serve milk and bread and packages and you know, just a little worker there. And what happened was is that night, the boys, the kids, started to get crazy on the avenue. A few thousand showed up, started burning masks, holding buses back. The police showed up and they couldn't beat up little kids and even teenagers and some adults. So they called me at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the deputy inspector says, "Heshi, get over here." I said, "What do you want from me? I'm nobody. You get over here." So that's what I did. I picked up. Can you hear me, Ian?
Yes, I hear you.
I picked myself up. My wife wasn't too happy because, you know, a lot of the hours we don't spend much time together. And I got dressed. I ran over to the avenue and I started calming everybody down, sending everybody home. And the police themselves on their microphone, they put me on there. It's on video. And somebody was beating up some reporter who always ratted on the community, took pictures, shutting down our wedding halls. And I keep our wedding halls open. I follow the sheriffs. I fight with them. I scream at them on the law. I know it real well. And so this guy was beaten up and they called me there and I calmed the crowd down. The police made a deal with the community leaders that if everybody goes home, I get everybody home, they will allow the kids to come back the next day to celebrate the Jewish holiday and dance and sing on the street with music for 2 hours. I said, okay, I got the microphone, I told everybody to do it, and that's what was done. The next day, they moved it to a smaller location. They called me. I said, again, I'm not in charge, but I will try to let the word out. And people came, and it was a quiet, nice, not a protest, but an event for the community. Even though they kept canceling our street events, while everybody had open street events, we were the only community that the mayor, whatever, I don't like him, I don't even consider him my mayor, and his Jewish liaison would not allow us. What happened was, I had 30 police officers stationed around our place, beautifully done. Any trouble, was one little bit of trouble, they grabbed somebody, took him away. One of the reporters who claims he was a reporter, the guy who started the first protest, his brother-in-law, came to the event and he woke me up in the middle of the night, started screaming at me, blaming me. So as you know, Ian, you and me are neighbors. If you start, your dog barks or you start, you know, middle of the night waking me up, you know, I would come and scream at you, "Hey, Ian, what'd you do? Stop it. Why'd you do it?" This guy was a bad man as well and started calling the mayor on national television, sending people to different synagogues. So when people were screaming at him on the street, they called me over. They asked him, "Why'd you come here? You're a bad guy." And I told everybody not to touch him. The police shot him 2 minutes later because the crowd, you know, came around whenever there was something, and they grabbed him and took him away. He claimed that he was hit. The next day on CNN, he denied it. He said he wasn't hit. He claimed he felt threatened and entrapped, and there was a riot. Nobody was arrested. Nobody was ticketed. No stores were burned. Nothing happened. Everything went away. The mayor was upset because this guy called and complained. The mayor went on national television and quoted a Twitter account that wasn't even mine. So I want you to see how stupid your mayor and governor is. They don't even do research like I do. And what happened was is they taunted me, and of course I'm a guy, I'm from the streets, I taunt back. I'm not scared of nobody, you know. I was stabbed. I'm not trying to brag to you here, but this is my city. I've been here for 57 years. I've raised a family. I have 106 nephews and nieces, 21 foster kids. I've gone through the streets. I have my own children and grandchildren. This is my town, our town. So nobody's going to scare me off. I don't care if he's a mayor. So he threatened to arrest me. I said, come get me. And the police called me 2 days later. Well, this guy made a complaint. Come in and turn yourself in. And I said, okay. What happened was, is in the community found out about it. They were going to walk me to the station. The mayor, in the middle of the night, sent, not because he, my police officers wouldn't have arrested me. He sent from the Bronx, a different borough, 2 warrant officers, 4 detectives, 7 police cars. Like I tell people, Al Chapo didn't have so many people arrest him. Chained me, chained my legs, dragged me in, left me in a car for 4 hours, not even booked me properly, lost my fingerprints, and made sure I suffered in jail. And they got me a couple of minutes that I have to make a deal on to make it go away because I'm busy running for election. And that's what happened. And the mayor got me well. And he showed us what his power is.
So, Heshy, first off, have you ever been to Totone's on Coney Island? You ever eaten at Totone's?
I only eat kosher, but I've been to Coney Island for 50 years. I've been going there. I know every inch of that place. I wish I could eat at half of those places. But no, I do know what you're talking about. But I've eaten in every other restaurant, but not that one.
What about the work of, I think she's, I don't think she's in Brooklyn. She might be the Bronx. Her name's Tina 40. You follow her?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Heshy, so the mayor's arrested you, but let's clarify this. You're somebody of – some people follow you, and a lot of people follow you. And so the cops called you, made that call to you, if I heard that right, at 1 a.m. in the morning. Why is it that you're a man to be reckoned with? What is it that you do, and why did the police call you?
Well, because, you know, in my community, when you're in trouble, I'm pretty much behind the scenes all these years.
Yeah.
You know, when a kid, we have a youth center, a kid is in trouble on drugs. So I've been doing it for 30 years. When a kid gets thrown out of the house or you're on Ocean Parkway, they say, go to Heshy. I'll take them in. Me and Linda, my wife of 31 years, we've taken in so many kids. We go visit the jails every 2 weeks. When some of the guys come home, we have a few little small apartments in our house. We house them or bring them in. Our children always find somebody that is in trouble, and we're good. We have a good reputation. We always have food in the refrigerator. People come and go, so people know when they're in trouble with their buildings or their homes or a death in the family. For some reason, after my father died, I raised my mother and a widow, a single mom, or 2 brothers, and a Down syndrome assistant who still lives with me and prays for me every day. She has her own apartment, does well. I've learned how to help people, and my business. In the business, somehow people get in trouble with buildings or homes or funerals or stuff like that. And I figure out ways. I don't know how. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Great Escape. Do you ever see that movie? It's an old-time movie, one of the old ones.
That Patrick Swayze, who is that?
Not Patrick Swayze. This goes back to, this is McLean. Yeah, what's your, McKean, I forgot his name again.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
With you, you know. A big time, old time actors, and it was a great movie. And one of them was called The Scrounger. He was able to find anything in a concert, in a prison of war camp, and help people do stuff. That's what I do. I don't consider myself a scrounger. I consider myself that I can solve problems or meet the right people or connect you to the right people. And I help people, whether you're rich or poor. The city even hired me to be a receiver. And I even fight my directors because I tell them you're wrong, how you treat the quality of people, how you treat landlords. I'm a guy that is always behind the scenes and making sure the politicians do their job. This particular time when they closed out parks in the city, and I see he only closed the Jewish parks, I argued with him. They wouldn't answer my calls. They laughed at me. Kids were running in the street, getting hit by cars. I just couldn't take it anymore. After 4 months of locking down my neighborhood, I told everybody to stop. I took my bolt cutters. I opened the parks. They came threatening me, police. I came fighting back. My community saw, even my police officers saw I was right. And the word spread. I kept going to other communities. They even welded park doors shut, so we shouldn't go in. I'm 400 pounds. I'm, well, 300, but I tell everybody I'm 400. And we busted open those locks. We busted open those gates. You do not hurt my people, my children. My people, I just don't like it. It bothers me. My father cried at night when he came home from the hate, from the anti-Semitism. I grew up with anti-Semitism for the Jews. You think I like when we have Asian hate? You think when I like when we, with the black people and the white people fight, or black on black crime, white on white crime? Unacceptable. I'm not asking you to share your wealth. I'm not asking you to give people what you have, but give a little kindness. Buy somebody a bread or a milk. Do good, and we can make other people's quality of life better. What happened was, I came to the forefront. I showed my face, and the mayor didn't like that somebody stood up to him. The Jewish liaison didn't like it that the community was following me. Usually they come to me with trouble. And the mayor wanted to pick an example. I was the best big example he can pick. And I fought back. And he used some little schnook to make the complaint, who was a zero. And I had to deal. At the end, like I tell everybody, when I stand before the Holy Maker, I'm going to answer. Did I go to jail? Big deal. I put 60,000 kids back in school, 20,000 kids back in the parks, have all my stores, synagogues open, shuls open, wedding halls open. I am open. We've never been closed. Not one of our places have been robbed, burnt, nothing. My community has been protected with our own community, you know, our own community volunteers. I'm not bragging to you, but so many other neighborhoods joined us. So many other cities. I've seen videos, people sending me from other towns fighting back. You know, this is what I'm proud of, my great city. I'm proud of my great country. And I will continue, because I'm an American, I'm a Jew, and I'm so happy that God gave me the opportunity to stand up once and for all and say, look, here is my opportunity. I'm going to take it. And I took it. And I hope I get elected to city council, because I'm going to put them in their place too, Ian. I'm not going to let this go on anymore. No more progressive lefts. I'm not going to let them let rapists, murderers out of jail just like that. I'm not going to let them close down schools and take away money from private tuitions. I'm not going to let them open up 90 homeless shelters and waste billions of dollars. I have a plan on how to fix that into making them into adult centers. I've done this for years, and you're going to say to me, Heshi, how can you do it? Because this is what I do for a living, helping people make senior centers legal, helping people to make their homes legal, helping kids get into drug rehab centers, helping postpartum depression for women, I helping people with budgets. I have a 35-year history of doing it, and now I'm going to do it on a grander scale, Ian. I'm hoping, I hope next year when you call me at this time, I'm going to say to you, look, Ian, I did my job, I do it with passion, I do it with love, and I'm not, and I don't need any government funds or matching funds. I'm going to do it because the people need it done. And now my phone is open 24/7. I will be open then. I know you can't work 24/7, Ian. Don't get me wrong. But I will figure out a way to help people all the time.
Heshi, let me ask you this. What do you say to the following statement? It's an opinion. It's a statement. What do you say to the following? The COVID-19 virus has been used in the United States, let's just talk about the United States, talk more particularly about New York, has been used to implement a socialistic regime. What are your comments on something like that?
Well, I've been saying that from day one. People get angry at me. You know, I can't prove conspiracy, because it doesn't make sense that a whole world is conspiring to torture its people. It doesn't make sense that they want to wipe out the population and start again. It doesn't make sense. Maybe it's happening. I am only a regular person from Brooklyn. I'm pretty educated. I've read many books. I understand Gates and all the, and Fauci, who I hate so badly. You don't even understand. I never wore masks. I took 8 COVID tests. Trust me, I volunteered in the hospital. And yes, I took the vaccine. I'm a traitor. You know why I took the vaccine? Because it's nothing. And I believe we should take it to make the government, to show them that the government is lying, that they're still using us and trying to make us, like you said, socialists, like AOC. She got rid of Amazon. She wants the green all over the world. She doesn't care about the city. She just cares about controlling the people. So, yeah, I believe they use the COVID for their benefit, just like my city has legislation that they keep pushing 30, 40 new laws on us, forcing different 312 government agencies to just punish us, fine us, if we misbehave, to even rat on one another. You should see what we're doing in the city. It's like a terrible thing, from cameras following us. If, you know, I had a police officer telling me, I don't need a warrant to come into your place. I said, what? I said, try. I said, don't even think that you walk into a building without a warrant that I will not fight back. I can understand standing on the street you want to arrest me. But if you're going to walk into my building or my wedding hall without a warrant, be prepared that you are trespassing and you are a criminal, and make sure you're dealing with justice. She called the chief and they ran away. My point is, you are right. You want me to tell you there's a conspiracy? I know they used COVID incorrectly. Is there COVID? There is a sickness out there. There is a flu. I take my flu shot every year, my single shot. I take my TB shot because I'm a volunteer. Yes, we had a bad case of pneumonia. I have a family member that got pneumonia. And you know what? COVID is bad, and they didn't know how to deal with it. But no, it's they abused the privileges. They did not know how to cure it. We had so many different cures, so many different people. Instead, vaccine, money, money, money. Everything's about money, Ian. Let's face the fact. I don't know who's behind it. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Too many people to be involved to make this conspiracy happen. I just believe that each one of us, you, me, have to do good, have to care about one another, and we are free. This country says we, the people, not the government. So I will always remember that, and I will remember how proud my father was to be an American, how proud he was of me being first generation American. And I'm going to stand and hope that people follow me. Not follow me, I'm sorry. Allow me to guide them to do good. But it's up to them to do whatever they want.
Heshi, I commend you for doing what you're doing. I just joined an investigative journalist, his show, a couple of days ago. His name is George Webb. And I brought on a Canadian lawyer that's out of Ottawa, Michael Swinwood. He's suing the World Health Organization. As we know, the World Health Organization essentially controls the CDC, and you express your view on Anthony Fauci that seems to be involved in a lot of very iffy money type pharmaceutical type corporate issues that are surfacing, and people like yourself, thank goodness you are doing what you're doing, Heshi, are taking a stand and doing what you're doing. And this alarms me that a police officer would have that conversation with you, thinking that they could enter your residence or your establishment, whatever it may have been, without a warrant. It sounds like it's going a little way too far in New York. Once elected, Heshi, once elected to the city council position that you aim for at the moment, what's the first thing that you're going to do to change and make your city better?
Hello?
Yes, Heshi, I'm here. Can you hear
me? Hello. Oh, so yeah. So, you know, the other week, you know, each one of our stupid agencies have their own police. The parks have their police. The sanitation have a police. I mean, the parks department have police with guns. And they went into one of our restaurants at 8 o'clock at night that was closing down. The owner left, and he left a young girl there to close up. Do you know that they asked her for her ID, even though she provided all the documents? She said, I'm not giving you my ID. They wanted to arrest her. Sanitation police. I made a video of it. It went viral. And do you know that I had to go there screaming and threatening them? I said, come get me. I said, just try to arrest me. At the end, the guy said to, in my video, he tells all my watchers, my listeners, there are thousands of people who follow me. He said, if he fights half as much for you guys when he fights us, vote for him. I took it. I made it into a funny video. You know, first thing I'm going into office is I'm going to find a way to get 26 out of the 51 councilmen. I'm not running for the Assembly or the Senate, the city. This is where I'm going to start. This is where I'm going to stay. I'm 57. I have 8 good years. I know I can fix a lot of things that this mayor destroyed, took away from landlords, people going broke and bankrupt. First thing is I'm taking away all executive powers. I'm going to find a way to create a coalition of 26 councilmen and women. Good. I'm trying to make peace with them now, make friends with them before they're getting elected. There are 35 new ones coming in. Create a coalition to never allow the mayor ever to have executive powers again, only the city council, and never to be to allow us to put people in jeopardy or lock them up or I don't even know what to tell you. Basically, we were all in jail. And that is number one. Then, of course, I'm not going to go for big legislation. I'm going to tell the people, stop it. Every week, every month, 30, 40 pieces of laws. And you know how thick those laws are, Ian? They're like 40, 50, 100 pages. Do you believe that these guys are reading 30 books, 100 pages? Half of them can't even read. They read a little blurb and one votes for one guy, the other guy votes for the other guy. And only the supreme leader of the city council could actually bring a law into effect. So if you try to even pass a bill without kissing his behind, you're dead. That has to change. I'm going to try to become the leader of the city council. I'm going to try to beg for that position, even though I'm only a junior councilman once I get elected. But first thing I want to do is that, and then I want to stop legislation completely. Let's take a break, guys. Let's go over and review what we have. Let's get money for our schools. Let's try to fix up the public schools and let more charter schools. I'm for school choice. I want special needs kids we have the best special needs programs in the whole country, and most of these kids are lost in the last year. I want to get postpartum depression for women that have had children that are lost, especially the people with mental illness. Homeless issue, and most importantly, I know you're not going to like this, Ian. I know your listeners are not going to like this. I'm sorry, Ian. I hate drugs. I hate it. I've seen 104 suicides last year, 26 this year. I can't take children doing marijuana. I'm never going to allow that to pass. I know they legalized it. I'm going to find a way to destroy this. I hate marijuana. I hate the drugs. I've had kids that die on me, kill themselves. I can't take it. And I'm going to stop it. That is going to be my number one goal, create more youth centers, more after-school programs, and drug centers. I need to stop this. The war on drugs since the 1980s has gotten worse. I know everybody says, legalize it, it'll stop. Ian, I can't. You want me to cry with you on your phone right now? I will. Because I'm sad when I see how many funerals I've gone to. And not just for adults, but for kids. And yeah, women in their 20s and 30s who've gone through depression, who've committed suicide. I'm tired. I'm a community activist. People invite me to come speak a lot, and it kills me when we waste a life when we could save. And I've saved so many, but not really. I haven't even touched the surface. I know I can do more. I know I can do more. And my beautiful wife, Linda, of 31 years, lets me do it. And I'm so proud of her for standing beside me, because no other woman, I believe, would have let me do what I do.
Well, thank you for Linda. Thank you to her for supporting you. You're doing great work. Has she really commend you again? Look, I think you hit your head on the nail there. Take these executive orders away from the mayor and give them back to the city council. That's a great first step to clean this up. And some of these policies that you're changing on your community level need to reverberate throughout the country. I was fortunate enough a week ago to exchange some words with General Flynn, and essentially what he told me, the greatest threat to America right now is the dismantling of the American family. That nucleus is under attack, and when we lose that, we lose the country. And so some of these principles that you're standing on in New York are so incredibly important. So I wish you well for that. I want to take a few minutes as we wind down here.
I just want to tell you one thing. When you brought up that thing about the family, they want to rip apart our police force. Did you ever hear of defunding the police? I mean, now I hear dismantling police. No, I mean, some of the progressive leftists are lost. You can't do stupidity. And I know that people don't want it, but these people in power think they can. And Heshi Tishla, I don't know how, but I'm going to stand there. I've always been able to solve problems, and I'm going to stop it with my last breath, with my last living cell. They're going to have to go through me. And they've tried. And so far, they've succeeded sometimes, but I'm going to be there, Ian, on the front line, spread the word. And I know America, how great it is. The people do stand up. All they need is somebody to say, hey, man, it's possible. And when it's possible, and America has done the impossible many times, we're going to stand together. Sure. We'll make change, and not for the progressive left, but we're going to be right in the middle, conservative and the right people. And the people, I'm hoping everybody does the right thing. I'm sorry, Ian, I interrupted you.
No, It's quite a fun. Heshi Tishler, ladies and gentlemen, he's a conservative Jewish fellow from Brooklyn, New York. And Heshi, take a moment.
American.
Take a moment, Heshy. Take a moment, please, and give listeners some closing comments. Something. What would you like listeners to take away right now? Spend a moment and give some closing comments, some closing remarks.
Ian, first of all, I want to pitch my website. It's HeshyTischler.com, HeshyTischler.com. I'm going to get elected. I know I'm going to win it. I want it badly enough, and I want it. I want you guys to contribute if you can, $10, $20, $30, $50. I want to win this. I want to win it big, and I want no doubt that I belong in that city council, and we do need money for it. So go to my website. Get me in there. You want some closing comments, Ian? Here's my simple strategy. We improve the quality of life for our friends and neighbors. And people think, like I told you in the beginning of the show, you have to do something big. You got to cut a lock. You got to fight a police officer. You got to run for office. No, no. Simple. Go out and do some good. Go buy a neighbor a bottle of milk when they need it. Go visit in the hospital once a week, twice a week, every morning if you want. Go do something to help make our place better. Go bring pizza to the police officers once a month. I do that. Go to your firemen. Show love. Show compassion. If everybody keeps doing it, as a little kid, I saw a movie, Pay It Forward. This is how you do it. We help one another. We stand behind one another. When we're on the trains or we're on someplace else and we see somebody getting abused, I'm not asking you to stand there and fight with them, but let's get the crowd together to stop the hate, to stop the viciousness. I'm not asking you not to fight with a friend or with a wife. It happens. We've got to do good. And the only thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to watch. And my job is not only to watch, is to make people help and work together. That's what I'm going to do. When I'm a city council, I'm going to work with the city council. I'm going to make everybody work together. I'm hoping my word spreads further out. I'm hoping it spreads through the state. I'm hoping it spreads through the country. I know it's been doing in a lot of little communities. And I know that when I get to city council, I can show New York, which is not a little town, a big town, that we can do it here. I know I'm a little fish in a big town, but I'm sure going to try to step it up. I don't need to be mayor. I don't need to be governor. Here's where I'm going to be. This is my plan, and I want to make a change, and I want all of you to follow along with me, my friends. Follow along. Guide your family. Guide your children. Do good, and don't let the bullies win, because when they do, what they do is they keep going. Everybody says the big guys fall, whatever. I forgot what it is. The harder they fall. Not true. They keep bullying, they keep pushing, they keep taking. It's time to stop them. I'm not asking for a great life. I'm asking to have a fair life, to give me the opportunity to get my picket fence, to give me the opportunity to feed my family, to be able to go home at the end of the week and sit with my wife on the couch, that she should be proud of me in some matter. So, you know, you think I wasn't embarrassed that I was being arrested in front of my wife and kids, and I sat there. And my wife was in a little ashamed of me. She said, Heshy, again, you keep fighting the city and they keep coming after you. I said, Linda, what do you want me to do? Sit there quietly while they beat and hurt other people? No, and my closing comment is to you is simple. Go out, think of how the little things add up again. The little things add up big time. And come support me, because I will try my best. That's the best I can tell you, to do good. And to help my fellow man, whether you're Jew, Asian, Black, whatever it is, I'm here for you. And call me. HeshyTischler.com. If I could pitch that again, would be great.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to give you $10 right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Heshy Tischler. Heshy, good luck. Keep up the good fight. And I look forward to bringing you back on the program.
And Ian, if you ever come into New York, pop over to the house. The door is open. Just come up for a meal or whatever. The refrigerator is open. Find something.
Heshy Tischler, folks, and this guy is amazing. Wow. That's the all-American spirit right there. The Heartbeat America, what is it, in Detroit, it's in Indiana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, where's the Heartbeat America? Well, the Heartbeat America, from what I've just been exposed to right now, is in Brooklyn, New York. Heshy Tischler's got all his ducks in a row. He's got it right. He just invited me over to a meal. Sounds like he would do the same to you. Doesn't even know you. I don't know you. And that's the American spirit right there, folks. That is the American spirit. We have a veil of what seems to be darkness currently folding over this country, wrapping itself around the world. This is a time for you to shine, America. This is the time for you to shine your light bright and let your voice and your beacon be seen and heard. And I'll be right back here with Max Eigen from Brisbane, Australia. I'll be closing out the three-hour discussion of truth here. Until then, folks, be awesome.